We are back for a couple more minutes with Brian Green, Bill Russell, and I. It seems to me that you must have written this book because you think it's important for regular walk-around people like me to understand what you're talking about.
Absolutely right. I bemoan the fact that these exciting developments in physics, to understand them as they're presented in research papers, requires graduate training in mathematics, graduate training in physics, and so forth, training that many people who are interested in these ideas don't have. So the point of the book was to try to strip away the technical details, strip away all of the things that require technical background, and just really show the ideas, the concepts, and how they link together, because they do form a complete story going back, say, to the early part of the century and before, that can be followed simply by following the logical steps and the ideas as opposed to trying to follow the mathematics or the physics that's involved.
Well, again, it's a whole series of why questions. Why? Why is it important for me to know this?
Well, I think that it's really part of human nature to ask questions such as, why is the universe here at all? And why are there stars in the heavens and so forth? I think these are questions that you don't need to be encouraged to ask. I think these are the kinds of questions that well up inside of us in a very natural way. And therefore, when science starts to have answers to these questions, I think it's natural for people to have a hunger to know what science is saying. And, you know, I've given a lot of public lectures over the years on string theory, and I've just found more and more that there is definitely a thirst for knowledge on this subject. I've found that repeatedly when I've been out there speaking to the general public. And that was largely the motivation, to try to put something down on paper that would try to address that need, that basic human need, to understand how the universe is put together.
In a way, this is the old line about life being stranger than fiction. Science is stranger than science fiction. There is this notion that of a zero brain being a subset of a pea brain, which is not the sort of thing you would want to go out in public and say without some explanation. But
now, this is string theory talk he's doing.
and just very briefly, what seems, in at least one possibility that shows up in that curious formulation, is that these strings that started out essentially as one-dimensional, now as you get down and started looking at them, this what we hoped was a fundamental constituent, now seems to be in itself operating in additional dimensions.
Right. So
that's pretty weird.
It is weird. And what you're referring to is one of the most recent developments from this so-called second superstring revolution that we mentioned before, which has to do with what are the basic ingredients in string theory itself. And for a long time, we thought it was just these little loops of string, objects which, like a string, only have extent along their physical direction in which they're existing. So they're one-dimensional objects existing in a universe that has more dimensions, so they can vibrate into many dimensions, but they themselves have one dimension. Now, the most recent breakthroughs have indicated that there may be objects in the theory as fundamental as strings, which perhaps don't just have one dimension, but might have two or three or even zero or more. It's almost a democracy of objects that have arisen within the second superstring revolution in terms of the dimensions that they can have.
Does this have something to do with M theory?
M theory, it absolutely does.
So, so glad you asked.
Well, you don't have much time to tell me about
M theory.
Show.
Yeah, so we've jumped the gun a little bit. So one really needs to follow the ideas and progression to understand things fully. But let me just short circuit it a little bit. So prior to 1994, there was not one string theory. It turned out there were five competing string theories. And this was really aggravating to us in the field, because if you go out and you try to say this is the final ultimate theory, but it comes in five flavors, you say, well, that's kind of a little bit disappointing. You've got one universe. You should have one theory. Why are there five different versions? Well, now in the second superstring revolution and something called M theory, we found that these five theories are kind of like the five arms of a starfish. They're all connected to one central unifying structure, which we call M theory. So we really don't have five different string theories. They're really just five different aspects of one theory. And this is a wonderful development for us in the field, because indeed we do have one universe, and now we really do have one theory.
And I think that physics isn't done. Thank you, Brian Green. This has been very interesting indeed. We appreciate you being with us.
Thank you.
Brian Green's book, The Elegant Universe, is itself elegant. We thank him for giving everyone access to important ideas and for the pleasure of sharing them in conversation with us. I'm Paula Gordon. I wish you well.